You would turn in your copies of God's Word, please, to Psalm 119. We've just begun our study of 119. And if you weren't here last week, we mentioned there's 22 sections, each corresponding to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And today we're on Beit, number 2, Aleph, Beit. And this will be a good chance for you to learn your Hebrew alphabet as we go through here. So beginning of verse 9, hear now this word of the Lord. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we come to you with a prayer that you would take this word by the power of your Holy Spirit and, Lord, press it into our hearts, our minds, change our lives. Lord, draw us closer to you through your word, through an understanding of your word. Lord, help us this day, we pray. We would ask not to hear clever words of the preacher, but, Lord, to hear your voice. Our prayer is that we would indeed hear your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I know you have all seen images in the news of gangs of young people rushing into stores and stealing everything in sight and smashing the displays and assaulting the store employees. And we also see images of individual youth attacking elderly men and women just walking down the sidewalk, coming up and hitting them in the back of the head or kicking them or brutally beating them. And your first reaction is probably like mine. You're probably angered by these sights. But at a deeper level, we have to ask ourselves, what's wrong with these people? What is wrong with these? Why are they doing this? How can they act like that? And there are many reasons that are cited as the proximate cause for such behavior. You know, you hear things like poverty and no home discipline and poor education in the schools and no father in the home and so on and so forth. But I would say all those things, even though they do have some bearing on the callous and the immoral behavior of these youths, but I think we should hear what John Calvin said. And by the way, Calvin never saw anything like this where he lived. But he said the reason, therefore, for so much prevailing evil in the world arises from people wallowing in their own impurity and being disposed to yield more to their own inclination than to heavenly instruction. The only sure protection is to regulate ourselves according to God's word. That's the solution he would propose. And the psalmist in our text today gives a reliable guide and an answer facing the problems that the youth of our land seem to face. And the greater the problems, and the greater the temptations which beset young people, the more they need to hear and to hold on to God's word. The solution, the help we need, is to begin early hearing and obeying God's word and never turning away from it. God's word is the best teacher for the young and the old alike. Growth in godliness results from memorizing, speaking, and meditating on God's word, irrespective of your present age. The guide to which the psalmist draws our attention here is the only reliable guide which we can safely follow in all the shifting currents of life. And the question which hangs over this text, the question which plagues our land, really, is how can a young man, or let's say, how can any man or woman, for that matter, keep their way, that is, their very life, clean and pure? How can people of any age give attention to their ways to avoid falling into sin? The answer is given in the second half of verse 9, by living according to the word of God. You may hear many solutions to the problems of our day. You may hear and see much advice about how to live life in the most productive way and the most socially responsible way. But until there is a surrender and submission to the word of God, there will be no lasting change. There will be no lasting progress. When a person sets about to improve or regulate certain areas of their life, there's no instruction, there's no advice which can compare with that which is given in the Word of God. Those who have God's Word, who hear it and read it and study it, should also keep in mind one thing. They're admonished to keep the Word of God. It's not just enough to hear, to read. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." You know, he said in another place, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This is doubly important, I think, for the youth, for they're easily tempted by bad company, by social pressures, social media in our day, and their own self-indulgence, which seems to be greater when you're young, I guess. But just because you're not a youth, don't think that you have a license to regulate your own life separate and apart from God's word. These things that he says are appropriate to people of every age. For youth and the mature alike, the sure and certain way to do this is by hiding God's word in your heart, he says. That would be by memorizing God's word. And I know what some of you are going to say. That's easier, usually, for younger people than for older people. But notice what the psalmist says. You all have different translations. He says, "I've hidden your word in my heart. I've stored up your word in my heart. I've laid up your word in my heart." Don't be put off by the word memorize. That sometimes discourages people. The idea is that your heart, your life, is saturated with God's word. That's the importance of daily Bible reading. That's why you should be in the scripture every day. That's the importance of Sunday school. That's the importance of Bible study. That's the importance of worship attendance. Just think about the scripture that you have read and heard thus far today. You have been inundated with the scripture. Where else do you get such a saturation of the scripture in your life each week as you do in worship or in Bible study or Sunday school? You know, you may not remember word for word everything that you've heard or everything that you've read, But the word of God is imbibed into you. You know, it's your sure defense against the false assertions of the world, the false advice of the world. And, you know, the world and the flesh and the devil are conspiring against you every day. But as you continue to put God's word into you, as you're immersed in the word of God, you don't know how that's changing, affecting, and working in your life. You know, it is building within you an acquaintance of Scripture and what God says. And, you know, you may say you can't remember, but we have plenty of scientific studies that shows that you remember everything you've ever heard, said, or read, or done. It's just a problem recalling it sometimes. But as you put this into your life, as you pour into your life each day God's word, that is having an effect upon you. And notice one other thing here. Notice how the author lifts up praise to the Lord for his instruction, for his teaching, verse 12. You know, to the extent that we understand the word, to the extent that it moves our hearts, we must praise God for that. I know you know, and you've experienced this, as I have and everyone else has, there are certain times you read God's word and it really moves your heart. It really affects you. You should praise God for that, because it's his spirit that enlightens your understanding. It's his spirit that lights your way with the light that shines forth from his word. God's law, God's requirements are not a burden for his people. It produces many blessings for them. It produces many blessings for those who hear and obey. And notice, please, that we don't have to depend on our own abilities in this regard. The psalmist beseeches the Lord to teach him. Lord, teach me your word. So our prayer should be, open my eyes, Lord, that I may see wondrous things in your law. Teach me your word. Give me the understanding. Help me to understand what I'm reading and hearing for your praise and glory, Father. And this word of the Lord is not only to be hidden away in our heart, not only to be stored away, but notice also we are to declare God's truth. We're to declare God's truth to our fellow men. It should be our endeavor to expose as many people as possible to God's truth. Let me ask you, are you reluctant sometimes to answer a question or being involved in discussion or inquiries from other people? Are you sometimes hesitant to reply with something from the Word of God? You think it sounds quaint or maybe holier than thou to interject into the conversation? Do you feel awkward saying, well, the Bible says, well, God says? Do you feel a little strange doing that? Don't forget this. The Word of God is powerful. It casts down powers and principalities. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's able to penetrate to the very core of a person's being. There are myriad examples in the history of the church of lives that have been changed by one single verse of Scripture. You do not know how God may use his word as you hold it forth to other people. The psalmist says, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. With his lips, with our lips, we're to recount what God has said. That's the answer that the world needs. That's the answer that all these various problems. can be addressed with the Word of God. But you have to be yourself filled with that Word. You have to keep replenishing your store of that Word day by day, week by week, because you know not what situation you may be called upon to answer. This world and its problems need to be exposed to the whole counsel of God. And the author says, in doing this, there's as much joy as there is in having great wealth. Knowing the Word, walking in the way of God's law, and holding forth the truth of God's Word is far more precious than great wealth. It brings great joy. Not like the world measures joy, but eternal joy. And the main reason, I think, that we do not recount, as the psalmist says, all of God's laws, I think the reason we do not hold forth the truth of God's Word as we should is generally because of fear. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, or fear of criticism. But what you're actually causing in yourself through your fear is, what's he say? A loss of joy. There's great joy in doing this, and we let our fears and our reluctance rob us of that joy. Our fears keep us from experiencing the joy of following and sharing God's statutes, following, sharing with others His law. How happy, how much rejoicing would there be in your heart if you were to win the lottery next week? Maybe it's getting up around $1 billion sometimes. How happy would you be? The psalmist says that by declaring and following God's Word, it produces not just comparable, but a greater joy than that. Something you cannot lose, this joy that comes from living, experiencing, and sharing God's Word. And relating to and following and sharing God's law requires more than just reading of the text. It requires more than just listening to a sermon or a Bible study. It requires more than even memorization. See what he says? It requires thoughtful reflection and deep soul-searching meditation. We're all aware of how life pulls at us each day. There are so many demands on our time and so many distractions. You know, the reason that Augustine and Luther and Calvin and Spurgeon and others were so adept at handling and applying the Word of God was because they didn't have a TV or a cell phone or the internet. I'm being a little facetious. Those were very gifted men. But how much time do you spend with all those distractions, and how much time do you spend with the Word of God? If we measure what's important to us by how much time we spend, I'm afraid God's Word doesn't rank very highly. But if we get distracted by all those things, we have little time for meditating upon God's Word. It's one thing to read a few verses of Scripture. It's another thing to sit and think upon those and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you have for me here. Show me what this really means, how I can apply this in my life, and think through that. You know, I can tell you on a personal level, even just this week, it's been really hard to concentrate this week with all the information about the war in Israel pouring into our living room every day. You get distracted, and all of a sudden you're watching this and waiting for the next thing to happen, and a lot of times nothing happens. You're just sitting there looking, switching channels. You know, it's hard to keep your mind on what's important. You all know how hard it is to keep the Word of God in front of you in the press of daily distractions which overwhelm us every single day. But there is great delight in doing this. The author says in meditating on and applying God's precepts, there's great pleasure. Do you see it that way? Well, the fact is, our joy and our pleasure will be small until we grow in proficiency in handling God's Word. And that comes from study, and that comes from repetition. That comes from time spent in the Word. We have to diligently and cheerfully set our hearts and minds to the task. It is not a chore. It's not some distasteful task. It is a joy and delight. But we will not know that until we follow the path that the psalmist lays out for us here. Our natural sinful self gravitates toward that which is sinful, and maybe not outwardly sinful, but unprofitable sometimes. We spend our time a lot of times doing things that are not profitable for our soul, for understanding the way in which God would have us to go. And that will lead us away from the pursuit of God's truth. But once you spend the time, once you meditate, once you do the things that the psalmist has outlined here in this text, you will find sweetness and delight. The delight of his law, the delight of his precepts, the delight of his testimonies, attracting us to him and leading us to walk in his ways. You know, God is both perfectly holy and perfectly happy. And his blessedness is the result of his infinite wisdom. It's the result of the excellency of all his attributes. So, is it not the height of absurdity, not to mention foolishness, to expect joy and happiness by walking in ways that are contrary to God's ways? If God's ways bring happiness and blessedness, why would you ever want to walk in ways that are contrary to that? Contrary to his word, contrary to his law, his precepts. That's what the psalmist is here admonishing us to do. But notice what he says. After considering all these things, after considering the memorizing of Scripture and the speaking of God's precepts and meditating on God's Word and the fact that that brings praise and rejoicing and delight, the psalmist concludes here with a solemn promise. The very last part of this psalm. He promises, I will not neglect your word. Can we all say that? Can we all make that promise before the Lord? I will not neglect your word. May it be that all God's people, by his grace, would say the same thing. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, what a blessing and a treasure it is to us as your people. Lord, we pray that you would instruct us day by day, week by week, Lord, to understand better, to know your word, to be able to share your word, to share the truth of your word, to hold forth the truth as we should as your people and your church. And Lord, we know as we think about our own selves and our lives and demands upon our time, Lord, we know that oftentimes we do neglect the word. We neglect our prayer lives. We neglect our time of Bible reading and study. And Lord, we just pray that you would encourage us as your people, Lord, to be more faithful, Lord, to really spend the time, as the psalmist says, encourage us here, Lord, to read and hear, to hold in our heart your word, Lord, that our lives, our conversation, our thoughts might be more tuned with your word, more pleasing to you, our great God and King. And Lord, we pray as your church and your people that we'd always hold forth your truth as we should in this world that is dying and dark, depressing place because of the sin that abounds all around us. Lord, help us to shine the bright light of your truth into this dark world as we should. May it all be for your glory and your honor. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.